speak to you today. I appreciate the leadership of this congregation to set this Sunday aside to give a special, special focus on global missions. Visitors, thank you for choosing Henderson Church family. Please stick around. We would like to get to know you. And please come back. The title of the lesson today is Experiencing God in Never-Ending Mission. Experiencing God, Never-Ending Mission. But before I get into this lesson, how do you pronounce Matthew? Go ahead, say Marek. Matthew, Marek. I'm emphasizing this. I was once in California, and they really came up with a completely new name. I couldn't even recognize who I was. You know, knowing the name is very important. But I'm not specifically picking on Ron. No. I would not do that. Ron and Charlie, they're excellent, excellent representation of the elders of this congregation. They have such a huge heart for missions. And I think that is the heartbeat of the local congregation. And I appreciate very much this opportunity to be with you all. Experiencing God's never-ending mission. We'll be totally focusing on Luke chapter 24, especially verses 44 through 49. This is the less used section of the Great Commission. Maybe better to say it's less popular because it incorporates several elements that are essential for mission work. Before we get into details, let me share some observation that I put together just to better illustrate what we are up against as we plan and execute the mission work. We are living in the world of rapid change. For people in my over 50 age category, the Soviet Union was a defining force in the world throughout my youth and young adulthood. In our younger years, the war in Vietnam helped define the identity of the United States of America in the world. Dozens of countries celebrated their independence from colonial powers like Great Britain, France, and Portugal. In addition, technological advances included a lunar landing, the advent of the internet, and affordable mobile phones. Affordable. That's the key word of our 21st century. Everything is affordable. For those under the age of 25, the Soviet Union stands alongside historical realities like Revolutionary War and the Roman Empire. It existed at one time, but has no bearing on our times. See, Western identity in the world has moved to being defined by wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I want to make sure I am not speaking politically this morning. Some post-colonial nations, such as India, have risen to economic power. Others have suffered with internal violence and the effects of religious nationalism. For this reason, technology has become the dominant force linking our world through social media, satellite communications, and global interconnectivity. Some global challenges, just to mention a few, population growth, demographic changes in the local communities, and of course, refugees problem that is on the rise and on the horizon. Luke chapter 24, if you would like to turn your Bible to this particular passage, it will transform your life this morning into a renewed thinking about the purpose of the mission. See, Luke chapter 24 reminds us of a proper mission's emphasis, as Jesus seems to offer a basic approach to sharing the gospel in our text today. First of all, let everything, this is what Jesus is presenting to the disciples, let everything focus on the person and work of the Son of God. Notice in verse 45, he says, he opened their minds. When we shift the focus from what is in front of us, the physical, material needs of our existence, and we turn and look into the heavenly dwelling, as Jesus promised, he said, in my Father's home there are many dwelling places. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I'll be ready, I'll come back to get you. So we need, as missionaries, to go out and let people know that there is a place beyond this physical realm. And the only person that knows what is there prepared for us is Jesus Christ himself. Our mission and task of the world evangelism is centered at the person of Jesus Christ. And in this way, he opened their minds. He wanted to show them that everything in Scripture points to the reality of Christ coming to this earth. Notice also that Jesus Christ suffered and rose from the dead, and he is the ultimate proof of God's love for lost humanity. John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he has sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. So the gospel is for all, and God is love. So if we represent God as ambassadors going cross-culturally, going to different nations of this world, we need to at least reflect that love that once of all he has sent through Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, and we were not looking for God as humankind, he demonstrated his love by sending Jesus on the cross. These words sound familiar, and we are not surprised that we hear them again over and over, because they are centerpiece of the Great Commission presented here in the Gospel of Luke. Second aspect, the offer of repentance and forgiveness of sins is for everyone. That means all nations, all races, all ethnic groups, all economic levels. We need to do God's will in God's way. I mean that we need to be culturally flexible. We need to understand cross-cultural differences. And we need to be motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that motivation and empowerment, as we look for the biblical example, we look in the book of Acts chapter 2. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, what happened? They started to talk in different languages. And people are debating, was it miraculous or was it not? But they were speaking in different languages because of the people present there. So learning the language would be an extremely important element of the effective long-term mission. That's what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Christ-centered missions are seeking to better understand the people to whom they preach and evangelize. And third element that I hope that you will find interesting as well, The final element of Jesus' great commission in Luke is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit, oftentimes overlooked aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He emboldens believers to live out their faith. The final words of Jesus led to transformation of the disciples who, after his death, I can imagine, were confused, were scared, were fearful for their life. They were discouraged. All these things happened before they received the Holy Spirit. So the scripture reminds us that Christ's followers ought to be involved in seeking first the kingdom of God. And God's plan is culminated in Jesus in human flesh. And he sent the rescue mission. He is the one. He is the special op that came to die on the cross, to reconcile the world to God through the cross and resurrection. Jesus, the only one whom we love. Many countries of Eastern Europe are facing new challenges. Until 1989, that's the crucial turning point in the European history, millions were living in oppressive communist regimes with little opportunity to hear the good news of Christ. More evangelistic work is needed in Europe, and 100% I believe that we all agree that we need to pray more, that God would raise more workers, because the harvest is huge. It doesn't go the other way to diminish the need. But the needs are great, not only in the foreign fields, the needs are great even in our community as we speak. Every state of the United States experiencing some problems, and the need and demand for preaching the gospel is the most important thing that we do right now. That is the pillar of the local church work, pillar of the truth, to share him crucified with others. Just to give you a little bit touch with the history, 1989, they were oppressed and ready to leave behind the communism. Regimes that had no interest to allow even Jesus Christ to be preached. In the early 80s, many individuals were smuggling Bibles to East Germany, Hungary, Poland, Czech and Slovak, former Czechoslovakia. I recall the time when my father woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "We gotta go." And I was like, "Well, where are we going?" He just received a phone call that there's a parking lot nearby town where there are black plastic bags sitting. He needs to pick them up. That's all I was told, and that's all I knew at the time. As we arrived, it was complete darkness, no lights there. He found the place. And there were dozens of huge, those big trash bags filled with New Testaments in Ukrainian, German, Polish. And they were smuggled into the country, and people were so scared who did that they didn't even wait to say hello. They just dropped them there. My dad picked them up and took them to my grandfather's home. And that's the later, few weeks later, they were all distributed to appropriate destination. I remember that. At the time when this was happening and later on, I was thinking, man, how we can break the law by smuggling and still accept and be called Christians. But then I learned in the book of Acts, Peter said, we rather listen to God. That's what we need to do sometimes. And I hope that this is not about to come in this country where we need to forcefully preach the gospel or hide in catacombs as the first century Christians. Coming back to those days, there's a big name in the European missions. Otis Gatewood visited Poland in 1958 and led to Christ Naumiuk, Ciszek, and my father, Valenty, and many others who accepted Christ. I am proud of my father's journey of faith, and that's because of his faith and his devotion and dedication. I am able to stand before you this morning. I'm able to share him crucified and how his devotion and how he passed the faithfulness of his generation to my generation. And I'm be eternally thankful for that. Otis was a unique person. Some of you might remember him, but he devoted his life to sharing the gospel in Europe. He was the first person that came to Germany after World War II as a part of the team, and he evangelized and shared and created and trained many preachers and fed people who are hungry, who are victims of the World War II. I met Otis when I was 11 years old for the first time. That's how old I am, if you're counting the age. And it was an inspiring moment in time. Living under the communist system of government implied total control of one mind. You are limited in many different ways. This is the time when he was visiting Poland. Many were imprisoned, and they were captured and put to jail because they worshipped or allowed their private apartments to be used for worship service on Sunday. I, even when I was younger, I recall the time when the secret police entered and they arrested all of the participants of the worship service. They confiscated all of the Bibles. They confiscated all of the songbooks. And then they took by individually every person, and they would interrogate them in a different room, asking, are you coming back the next Sunday? Because if you consider coming the next Sunday, we may contact your workplace. You may lose the job. You cannot come back here. This is illegal. But people, in spite of this threat, they would constantly come back and worship Almighty God. And they would change the meeting places. And this is how the church grew, out of the little suffering and persecution. And this is what God can do if you are fearless, if the Holy Spirit gives you the power to move forward. My brother Mike Davidov, some of you might remember him, and his wife Molly worked in Eastern European missions offices in Vienna, where they printed Christian literature that was later smuggled into Poland for distribution. They have done a great work. In the 80s, when Solidarity began to strike, began to stop working, the people, 92% of the country would stop working. They experienced a shortage of food. And then the love of God appeared. The Western churches responded with assistance of food relief program. It was a great time in Poland to spread the gospel. Hundreds of people were baptized, and authorities granted official recognition to Church of Christ in Sopot and donated land for church facility. And when I talk about this, I'm thinking about Matthew chapter 5. I am thinking about verse 11. Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Today I rejoice to have this great opportunity to be with you and to think of those great promises. And the scripture again, the words recorded in Matthew, they are foundational to one's personal faith. Now let's look at the second aspect of the Great Commission in Luke chapter 24. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Verse 47, repentance and forgiveness will be preached in his name to all nations. Now the question that I want to pose to you this morning is, who authorized to share this specific message of salvation? See, authority is the key issue. that when we understand it, it will transform and generate a completely different type of motivation within our Christian life. Notice the authority. He is the Son of God. He is the very eternal one whose authority resides with the Father, the very one through whom the world was created. As Christians, we have to submit to the Word of God. And if we are not willing to submit to the Word of God, no matter what we do, it does not bring glory to our eternal God. Notice in verse 44, Jesus emphasized the statement, "It is finished." What is finished? Is the mission work finished? No. Is the mission of the disciples finished? No. What is finished? And I'm sure you have heard a number of sermons preached on this subject, so I'm not going to repeat them. But today we talk about the missions. What is finished? Why do we need to do mission? What is our motivation? Because the redemption on the cross has been completed. It has been done. So through our Christian life, we don't have to prove to redeem the world. Or oftentimes we say that we need to be a good example. We need to know the Scripture and Him crucified and share it with others. It is finished. Because redemption is finished, we are ready to go. And as we look in the Synoptic Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, the Scripture clearly indicates that all authority has been given to you. All authority. What is that authority for? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity is involved in one's conversion. That is wonderful, blessed message. And why are we fearful to go? Because maybe we need to review who authorized us going. And I'm so glad that we have church that is so interested in missions to send people and authorizes them to share the good news according to the Scripture. Jesus commissioned His disciples, and that is exactly what we need to do today. It is not all of these material issues and physical realm and inadequacy or lack of knowing the language, lack of getting place. Now we can get to any place in the world in less than 24 hours. Wherever people live in less than 24 hours, you can get there. When I went to the mission field, there was no even was a possibility of using internet. I had to use fax machine. And people would be mad. Oh, we waited so long for your report. I said, well, my fax didn't work. But I had to send reports. It is good for people. Those who send, they need to know what are they supporting. Writing reports, frequent reports, that's a very important element of mission work. You're not just by yourself as you go to the mission. You're not just a ranger that you're going to transform the whole world. You have a great big God behind you who puts you there to share Him with patience, kindness, with appropriate knowledge of His Word. Oh, man, I could preach here. This is a great audience. That's just fantastic. Let us look a little bit further. Jesus make it clear, and He is explaining the motivation for evangelism. So we are motivated because He authorized us. You know, we got to have a ticket. You can't just go to the basketball. You need to have a ticket to be let in. You need to be authorized. The access of entry needs to be authorized. You need yourself to be born again from water and spirit in order to enter and to march along with other missionaries through who tirelessly throughout the years were sharing the good news with others. But here's the key that I want to share and leave with you. If you missed everything else that I said today, I wanted you to see how Jesus conveyed the need and motivated His disciples to do the mission work. So Jesus keeps coming back to that very essential statement, that is, because it is written. Because it is written. So why do we do the mission work? Just because we speak languages? Are we doing the mission work because it looks good on the resume? We go to the mission field because we know a lot of people and we are not afraid of traveling? No, we go to the mission because we are authorized. Because it is written that we ought to go. So every generation of Christians, they need to be involved in mission work. So Jesus keeps reminding disciples, and he's telling them, it is written. Now notice, Luke chapter 4, verse 21. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So the presence of Jesus transforms the understanding. Luke chapter 22, verse 37. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with transgressors, so that which refers to me as has its fulfillment. And Luke chapter 18, verse 31. All things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. Jesus is teaching his disciples, you are here and you have a mission in front of you because everything about me written in the Moses law, in the major and minor prophets, and in the Psalms, all of this has been fulfilled. This is why we need to consider mission work today. It is written that we need to go. Not all of us can go. Some of us can contribute to mission and give money to those who are capable to go or in a better position. So it is a joint teamwork, lifting up the hands of the missionaries by supporting them, by praying for them. So if you plan to be a missionary someday, you got to do everything like Jesus did. You see, Jesus began with the Word of God to understand about his life. He did not begin with his life to understand the Word of God. We follow Jesus' example, how he followed the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus is the witness that the gospel is proclaimed. So this is God's plan to transform the world by the proclamation of full gospel. Oftentimes we say, that's the good news. If you would ask students, oftentimes they would just answer, okay, the gospel is the good news. The good news. That good news implies three elements that are so essential for one's success while walking with Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, showing us what does this mean? What is that great commission that Jesus is talking in Luke chapter 24 means to all of us? We need to die to our sins like Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We need to bury our sins in the waters of baptism. And then we need to be risen to the newness of life. And that is what Paul is trying to explain to those in Rome. He's talking about the universal message of the Lord. That is inspiring. That means that mission does not depend whether I will fail, whether I will have enough talents to succeed, whether I will know enough languages to communicate the good news. It all depends on the Word of God, because it is written. You may choose today and make your decision. You want to become a missionary in the future. Because it is written, because it is needed and essential for the next generation. So this plan really works. As we close, we need to consider several aspects presented here in Luke chapter 24. If you see the Bible as a reality for your life, notice that oftentimes people approach it, okay, here I am in my life. Let's see what the Bible says about my life. That is not the way how the disciples were taught to do. Because the Bible is yesterday, today, and forever the same. So we need to adjust our life to the Word of God. So whether you are a mother, father, or sister, or brother, grandparent, employer, employee, a patient, a client, customer, caretaker, wife, husband, whatever it is, are you making sure that the Word of God, that the message of the gospel is being witnessed to? That's what is looking like sometimes. Maybe it is not what you are experiencing. Sometimes you wish that things would be better. But oftentimes, because there's not enough time to pray, there's not enough time to stop our busy schedules and focus on the gospel, oftentimes we are not reflecting what God is expecting us to do. We know that our society is downgrading. We see what's happening nationwide, how people are disrespectful, nasty, and angry, and critical of each other. That only indicates that Christ is missing in our society. People took 10 commandments from the courts down, and they're forgetting the basic principles upon which this country was built. They forget that this country has been built on Judeo-Christian principles. And what people are doing today, they're taking down the commandments of Moses. We don't need them anymore. They took out the Bible from the school system. They limited the prayer there. And now they're saying something is wrong with our young people. Well, you remove God from their learning process. What do you expect? What do you expect? We see that the need for preaching the gospel is not only in this county, but the need is far more bigger than what we can comprehend. That's why we need to spend more time praying, not only for ourselves and for our community. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray that the world evangelist would flourish again. As far as the plan of God and fulfillment of Scripture are concerned, the missionary work of the church is necessary and as important as the cross itself, an empty tomb. You can't just preach about empty tomb without mentioning the cross. It is so important for us to see the three aspects of the gospel instead of just one. Everything could be peachy keen. They say, well, we are resurrected. We are just new people. We can do whatever we want. Oh, no. Have you suffered for the sake of Christ? Have you endured the pain that he did endure while hanging on the cross? The missions ministry of this congregation recognizes that missions is the work of God himself, and that humans are only servants through whom God works. And those who work in missions are God's fellow workers. And that is recorded in the Scripture as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 through 9. Would you consider to help to share God's love to transform people into a fully devoted followers of Christ? Your sacrificial financial support will help to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ, that people can be saved from their sins. It is important that we all participate in this great calling that the Lord brought before us and in front of us. We need to support all of the mission works of this congregation and go even beyond. God is the one who needs supporters and missionaries. We're both equally needed in the kingdom work. Missionaries can't go unless they are sent out with the financial assistance. Jesus' plan to reach the world is through those who believe in him. And Romans chapter 10, verse 4 indicates that how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Brothers and sisters, I hope I inspired you to consider mission work, whether it's a short term or long term. If you were wondering if you ever go back and maybe you are not able at this time or age, why don't you consider sponsoring someone who can go? That is a great, great mission of the Lord to be completed today. Otherwise, the billions on the face of the earth will never hear unless we who believe in Jesus take the message. This is the invitation to all of us today. Jesus Christ already died on the cross, and there's no need to redo or fix this process. Today, the reality is that we need to consider Jesus Christ to inspire us and transform us to change our lives. Maybe you feel persecuted in your daily life. Maybe you need that we need to pray for you to give you strength and encouragement. That is why the church family exists, to give you strength. But maybe there's someone among us who never put Jesus Christ in baptism. You know, baptism is not just the external manifestation of your personal faith. At the baptism, you touch and you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's not just the blood. It is the blood that has the power to purify you from all sins. And if the Lord comes today, you need to be ready. Won't you consider coming forward as we sing this song of invitation? And if you need to be prayed for, if you have any other question or want to place a membership with this wonderful congregation, that is the time when you can do so as we stand and sing.